marginal lands category, I am optimistic that it can make a contribution. However, I would caution that you not expect too much of it. It will not pacify those who want a lot of record bill, those concerned about the so-called property rights, and those who are simply against land use planning. In those areas where there actually is a certain level of marginalness, this marginal land proposal can apply. I understand that field testing has indicated that only some counties would be able to use it. I never expected it to fit in my Benton County. Here, the land that originally would have met the second marginal land test was given RR zoning by the exception process back there about 5-6 years ago. Benton County did not support Measure 6 last November. Benton County defeated Measure 6 by a good margin. I could expect that some of the land in Benton County that was zoned RR by the exception process earlier will find its way into the marginal land category. The people in Benton County who are unhappy with planning will not be pacified with less than effective gutting of the whole system. That's all I have to say.
Yes. It
sounds like you're saying that a better approach than a bill is to tighten up the exceptions process, sort of work through that.
I have never had any problems with the exceptions process. I saw it work in Benton County, and I've been impressed with it.
Okay, thanks, Chairman.
Senator Day.
I think part of the process in the exception process, don't you think, is that if you can find some arrive at some arrangement between local government and LCDC, it may have worked. But if it's challenged in the before LUBA and the courts, it hasn't worked as well. Has that been your observation, Mr. Carnegie?
Well, I've been involved in quite a number of appeals, and I would just have to point out that the people who have been challenging these things have been very successful. You know, if 1,000 Friends' record, if they were losing 90% of their cases, then I would think there was something wrong with the people who are supporting it. But since they are winning 90% of their cases, I think the system is working. It's getting in the way of those who don't want to support implement the land use.
Well, you know, I guess maybe I don't think I'm necessarily one that doesn't support the land use law. I also am sensitive to the fact that there are many people who feel that using only the soil classification or not allowing for some type of finding at local government level to address some of this issue isn't something that should not be addressed. And I guess what I'm saying is that I'm comfortable enough that if the exception process is so tight as you described, and I think it is, I don't think there's any question. The court in LUBA has been very reluctant to allow too many exceptions. I don't think that was necessarily contemplated when the goals were first established, that there shouldn't be some opportunity for finding of that nature. Now, that doesn't mean necessarily they're going to get it urbanized, but it may be that certain areas of that could really be used for something other than just a farming or forestry. Now, how do you feel about that side of the statement?
I'm convinced that a lot of people, it can never work for some people as long as they're not ready to say no, to accept no. You know, we've been involved in some cases from Benton County that we won on the substantive issues, and the county did not challenge the substantive issues. And they tried to get us on the standing issue. And they took us all the way to the Supreme Court. You know, they knew they didn't have a good case on the substantive issue, but they were hoped on the long shot they went for the standing issue, and then they still lost. You know, and from what I've seen in my experience in Benton County. You know, I don't think some people are going to be happy until they can effectively get the thing. Like I think you see it in Lane County. I heard you talk about it the other day.
Well, Lane County I won't get into, but I haven't seen anything in Lane County as far as zoning rural agricultural lands.
The developers down there are pretty happy and satisfied.
But I guess what I'd tell you, on the other hand, I can point out Marion County, where we have something like 1,200 square miles, and we're being challenged over 300 to 400 acres where certain exceptions were taken by the county court. And I've got to tell you, that has hurt land use planning from a standpoint very hard here, because a lot of people just don't understand it. You follow me? And that's the other side
of
it.
Yeah, I have to agree with you. A lot of people don't understand it. I'm surprised even a lot of my farmer friends who are out in the middle of the county and have not experienced the encroachment.
Yeah.
You know, and they don't, they just don't understand it, and they don't see any threat involved.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you.
Hector McPherson.
I'm Hector McPherson, and I'm with Ag for Oregon. I'm a farmer from Linn County, and I want to bring a few things to you on marginal lands. And I have, three amendments that I believe that you have before you in written form on marginal land. Before I start off, well, let me simply say that I think this is really an important new concept. And I have to, when I get up here, to invoke Jim Allison's name, because he always brings me up as what's wrong with land use planning in Oregon. So, you know, if we had Jim Allison happy, well, I'd be sure there was something wrong with this proposal. But when we had Jim Allison on one side criticizing it, and the Sierra Club feeling that we're giving the store away, maybe we've got something here that we better work with and perfect. Let me go to the amendments that were proposed. The first one is on page 2, line 38 of the printed bill, which is one that we presented when we first presented our testimony, but because it was not in writing at that time, we did not get into the printed bill. And this is one simply that puts the 320-acre category into the last test for marginal lands.
If you have in front of you your A in gross copy.
Could you stick your name in the tape for a minute?
Lois Kanagi with Agriculture for Oregon. If you have in front of you your A in gross copy and turn to page 2, line 38, then you would insert, after the small b, located, with a capital L, located in an area of not less than 320 acres, comma, composed predominantly of soils.
Yes, that, as I say, we presented that one before. We simply think that in the poor areas, we ought to have a test so the person couldn't say, well, I've got a 5-acre out here that meets the test because it won't grow anything, trees or crops, and therefore we ought to be able to zone a 5-acre thing. We think there ought to be a significant area involved there because of the problems you get with small areas and the competition you get and the problems you get from those being developed. The second change really goes on page 4, line 39 of the printed bill. This is one is a concept which we did not present at first, but on looking it over, we think it is important. And the thrust of this amendment is simply to allow land to go from the rural residential category directly to the marginal category without meeting any of the other tests. This is land that's already gone through the LCDC. It's been granted rural residential standing in this area. We think it would be perfectly proper, and certainly if we get the tax provisions that we're proposing into law, we think there would be a very significant migration of land from the rural residential area into marginal land category. And this will be an added protection for those people that are doing intensive farming in small areas. Are you going to add anything to that?
Actually, it's an insertion there before section 4 on line 40. We're adding a new subsection to the previous section.
Yeah, there would be a subsection.
Is it subsection 5 rather than subsection 4, yeah. I believe? Yeah. This subsection 4 is up in line 21.
Okay.
I believe this would come to subsection 5 down there between lines 39 and 40 for those of you who are following the printed text.
The last amendment is a change in that same area to the law of record provision, which simply opens it up further. We had, in our original proposal, we had thought that we would not allow law of record consideration for those tracts that have been created after 1975. And looking it over in the marginal lands category, we saw no reason for this. So at this point, we're giving you practically a wide open law of record provision. We do say, however, we still retain the provision that you must use contiguous areas under the same ownership as a single law. And let's see, is there one?
Again, I believe this is in contrast to some of the testimony that was given to you earlier, where there was the understanding that there were going to be tight restrictions on home sites in the marginal lands category. The restrictions that are included in 237 are restrictions to present EFU. And the marginal land proposal is a place where, for all practical purposes, the request for a lot of record, which has come before you in previous sessions of the legislature, is being, here's a place where we feel, the farmers feel, that on the marginal lands area, we could go with a lot of record concept, whereas that is might negatively impact agricultural operations if that same kind of lot of record were allowed on EFU zones.
Just to refresh your memory, you can have a house on every 20-acre parcel newly created, or, and every lot of record other than the contiguous thing that we've suggested. Okay, that basically are the changes that you have not received before, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time on the rest of this, but I do want to say just a few things here. Maybe I should point out first that we had some testimony already this evening that the income test, remember the income test does not apply to anything within the lot of record area. This only applies to whether you consider whether a piece of land should go into the lot of record. You have to have some way to rule out the productive farms that may be next to or within an area that otherwise would be considered marginal. If you've got an ongoing cattle ranch operation, which the land may all fit the soil test and then the tree growth category, you have to be able to rule that out, or you could cut up, you know, most of eastern Oregon, a great deal of it. So that is the reason for the income test being used, to rule out that other land that is very poor in quality but is a part of our rangeland and is very productive because it's a part of an ongoing farming operation. Now, as I pointed out when I started, we have a lot of controversy on whether this is a provision in law that really is going to do very much good. I think it will do considerable good. It's a brand new concept, and I would cite the four areas where I think it's going to have substantial use. One, I think it will put to better use some of our poor lands. Those lands that automatically fit into this thing, you're going to be able to do something with them, you're going to be able to develop them, you're going to be able to get rural home sites. I think we're going to provide through this additional opportunities for the part-time farmer. And I think this is important, that we get additional opportunities for the part-time farmer. And this will come on our poor lands in some areas, but on our already the lands that are already cut up considerably in western Oregon. So I see a need and a use for it there. Now we're going to give greater protection to some of our small and highly productive land that now is in rural residential, because I see a migration of land from rural residential because the people basically out there don't want that land to be cut up further down to, say, 5 acres or 1 acre. You've got a whole new type of category now that this land can be fitted into. And I think it'll be shown some information later this evening will show you that some of that land at least should make its way over into the marginal category. And of course, lastly, this will give counties an important new way to adjust their plans to meet the demand for rural home sites and property owners' expectations. This will do it in two ways. One, because there will be this land that can automatically fit the criteria that we've laid down. This may be limited in some areas. We can't really say at this point just how much it's going to fit, but we know that there'll be considerable in some areas of the state. But the thing that hasn't been discussed up to this point, and I want to point out, is that this is a new category of land that now we can apply the exceptions process. Now, Senator Day would like to liberalize the exceptions process, and I'm going to have a word to say about that. But even with the way the exception process works today, land that comes close to meeting the marginal category, now is a way that the counties can appeal to the LCDC that says, well, this land almost fits it. We think for these reasons it should be allowed to go in, and the LCDC will be in a position then to say yes or no whether this additional land then could go into the marginal category. We've outlined it in law, we know what it is, and it is something that they can rely on as not being migrating on down to being rural residential. Lastly, I want to point out that the competing ideas that you have, I think, that you're being faced with in this bill. We have the marginal lands proposal that the Ag for Oregon is bringing to you. The other is that we liberalize the exceptions process. I see great problems possibly with liberalizing this to the point where counties can do what they want to do. Now, Senator Day and I agree greatly on what needs to be done to preserve agricultural land out there in most areas. But in this one area, I think we need to look, on one hand, at a process which has some stability to it, some solid things to go by, laid down in state law, versus a process which would liberalize the exceptions process to where the counties that have not done anything in the past will be free to continue to not do anything, simply by taking exceptions which cannot be challenged. So with that, I think we have a viable proposal here that certainly is worthy of your consideration here tonight.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Senator Day?
Well, Mr. McPherson, I don't think that I am suggesting that taking an exception process is being challenged. I think that's a little more than what I've suggested. I'm saying that I believe that if we're going to have survival of land use in this state, that we're going to have to produce some type of system more than we have at this point. Now, whether we use your system or we use an exception process or we use some other idea, either we see that reform or I think we're faced with some major challenges of which we can't overcome. Now, I don't think that anyone's told you, including myself, that I do not believe that there shouldn't be a proper finding, nor even if there is a finding. Is that land automatically going to be urbanized? Automatically would be urbanized. I'd suggest that the system we're going under now doesn't allow any challenge made to this is succeeding. And LUBA and the courts are not allowing it. That's what some private complaint is. Now, some want to amend the goals. I don't think that's the way to go. I think there ought to be some type of fact-by-fact-by-fact finding and how we do this, and to put some type of equity into the system that isn't there now. And, you know, the whole issue of land use, and you know it because you're in the middle of it, is really how are we going to zone agricultural Oregon, not the cities. God knows we have land use planning in the city, and most of them had them. It was how are we going to develop that? And I guess what I'm saying to you is that no one's suggesting that if we were to use the system I'm proposing, that it would not go unchallenged. I think they would have to have a proper finding. No question that some would be granted, yeah? In other words, we would. Right now we have a big goose egg so far as LUBA and the courts are concerned, not, you know, if they're challenged. And, you know, and I hearken back to my experience in Marion County. When you look at as hard as we've worked on land use planning in this county, as hard as we did, and we see our work challenged over 300 or 400 acres out of 1,200 square miles, I'm going to tell you, land use isn't going to stand up under that kind of system. And the only problem I have, I'm concerned in your bill for twofold reasons, in the approach you're taking in 237. First of all, I think it sends the wrong signal if we just deal with this issue. I think there's other issues to deal with. And secondly, I'm not sure that we can deal with it in a broad brush approach that you're taking and not do more on individual case. And third, changing the classifications under EFU, I think just builds a whole host of new enemies we don't have to build. So those are the reasons I have a problem with it, okay?
Well, my response to Senator Day is that I think you and I have fought shoulder to shoulder for good land use planning in Oregon. You and I may see it slightly differently on this one. But Basically, I think you've outlined what I said, was that you're faced with two different views of how you get at this problem out here of folks' expectations for land that is not being met. And we think we have brought a legitimate one. And certainly we're going to work with Senator Day. And unfortunately, I have not seen his proposal, so I can't criticize his exceptions.
I would like you, as well as the rest of the witnesses, when Senator Day does have his amendments drafted, you will have an opportunity.
Mr. Chairman, I want to tell you, I'm not delaying them, but legislative council is jammed up. I was promised the amendments by Friday, and now it's Wednesday, but as soon as they're available, I'm going to make them available to everyone, but I haven't been able to get them out of legislative council.
Okay. I don't want to get into a debate on those amendments right now. I've got a lot more people to...
Mr. Chairman, we're going to be willing and happy to look at those amendments when they are off the press, and certainly we'll consider them. At the moment, Ag for Oregon feels that this is one way that we can diffuse some of the frustration. I wanted to talk to you a little further about where we think some of the marginal lands proposals might fit. I believe, have you all received copies of a letter or a letter from Klamath County from Roger Hamilton, who is a county commissioner there?
No, we have not.
We never came.
Okay, I have been in conversation with him, and he is very excited about the possibility, feeling that this, particularly if there would be some way that this could be made available for them prior to acknowledgement, which is not the way it's written in our bill right now, that it would certainly relieve a lot of the political pressure there and make it far easier for Klamath County to complete their plan in the time that LCDC has given them for acknowledgement, which I believe is 120 or 150 days, I'm not sure which. They're feeling that a marginal lands proposal such as we're drafting would provide some kind of solution, and I'm sure you will be hearing from Roger Hamilton from Klamath County. I think Josephine County is another county where apparently there are serpentine soils, some soils that they have not known how to categorize, and I think in those southern counties, Josephine particularly, again, there may well be a need for and a good usage for a marginal lands proposal. Jackson County plan was approved last week by LCDC. In talking to some of the people who have worked on that plan, and I cannot speak for this authoritatively because I have not worked on it, but I get the feeling that they're getting that plan through adoption would have been a little easier, a little smoother, if something like an ML designation had been in place. They actually creatively worked out something to that equivalent, but it would have been more helpful and perhaps more precise if this kind of criteria had been established. I had a conversation recently with some farmers in Washington County. They have a rural planning commission there, which I'm not sure, but it sounds almost like our farm panel that we suggest. And there is a question there as to whether some of the land that they have been trying to get into a farm forest 20-acre designation might possibly fit into the marginal lands category. Unfortunately, Hector and I haven't had time to go up to Washington County to examine their maps carefully enough, and we're not sure, but there may be some land in Washington County that where there has been pressure for a smaller designation that will fit this category. In the same way, we know that there are some areas in Clackamas County, which because of parcelization will fit the marginal lands category. We think there may be a site or two in Linn County. And again, these are places where the soils are excellent, but the parcelization has made it very difficult for commercial operations. But we think this would be a place where that small-time, that part-time small farmer would have an opportunity to do a small operation without the risk of it being continually whittled down from an RR20 or RR10 to an RR2. For instance, in Benton County, we thought we had a buffer zone of an RR10, and first thing we knew, that RR designation had gone to a higher density and went from an RR10 down to an RR5, so we were losing those small potential.
Excuse me, just a moment, Mr. Chairman. I'm just going to ask, it's awfully hard for me to hear the witness when there's 10 or 15 conversations going over here on this side, and I just ask, if you got to talk, go outside the room and talk. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Point's well taken. Please try to keep your voices down.
And just one more concluding remark, Mr. Chairman. Again, following up the Lisa presentation, one of the things that I believe all the citizens and all the legislators of Oregon who have worked on land use issues and who have supported land use issues over the years have been aware that agriculture and forestry goals are of statewide concern. The amount of Class 1 and 2 soils that we have in this state is very, very limited. I'm always impressed when I look at a topographical map of the state of Oregon and see this very, very tiny Willamette Valley. And I'm not quite sure I like comparing the best soils of Linn County to the worst soils of Linn County. When I think of what those worst soils of Linn County compare to the best soils in some eastern Oregon county that has variable fertility. We know economically, in a time when we're concerned about economic development of this state, that we need to use those very, very fine prime soils in Linn County as well as the rest of the Willamette Valley for commercial agriculture, even when it means, like our family does, that we're farming, we're preparing right now in a 25-acre parcel surrounded on three sides by houses, and we're preparing to plant strawberries there. It's excellent soil. The fact that mistakes were made 12 to 15 years ago and a subdivision put in there does not mean that we have to give up on that land now. Compared to Eastern Oregon soils, there's no comparison. And so we think of this as statewide rather than regional, and that's why there aren't any poor soils for all practical purposes in the Willamette Valley. They're either good agriculture or good timber soils. And the marginal lands category, when it comes to soils purposes, is going to fit in the soil and the counties outside the Willamette Valley.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Tom Pilcher.
I am Tom Pilcher of 12492 Jefferson Highway, 99E Southeast Jefferson, Oregon. I and my family have a commercial farm operation in the Jefferson area. I'll have to admit I haven't did my homework, and I got rained out of the field this afternoon, and I was told I should be up here, and I grabbed the bill over there, and you'll note that I checked the margin. I was opposed to this bill there, and I'm not right sure I am opposed to it. But I just want to tell you that you know, some of the problems that kind of bother me about this, and I don't think I am opposed to it really, but I give you a little background. I've been involved in land use planning in Marion County ever since it started. And I've been an area advisory committeeman from the beginning. And at first, we were opposed to land use planning because we felt it took some of our freedom away, and it did. But after we could drag our feet for some time and we started seeing, you know, the effects of not having land use planning, we could see the writing on the wall, at least I could, what was happening. The subdivision, the housing was closing in on me. So we reluctantly went for it. So we've given up some freedom, and we expect some protection, too, by it. And I'll get on to this bill. It seems like there's some points in here that just kind of opens up a new can of worms. Now, who decides what is marginal lands? Now, I farm some land that is Class 6 soil. And it's in a field, it's got other classes of soils in it, and I know there's many fields like this in the Willamette Valley, or in Marion County. And the crops that I grow on it, you can't tell the difference when you hit the Class 6 soils from Class 2 soils. So this concerns me a little bit, because this shows up on the soil conservation soil maps. It has this type of soil. And I think probably the effects of letting housing or dividing these marginal lands will have on existing farmlands nearby. Now, this is my problem. I am the last EFU farm in a given area from the Jefferson out, and then it goes into a zone that's there's a short section there that's a zone for housing. And it's all uphill for me, and I get a lot of problems from the drainage, and when they create these small tracks, they let the, you know, weeds go to seed, and that drifts over onto my crops. I grow very intensive type crops like beans, sweet corn, peppermint, sugar beet seed, and wheat, and things of this nature. Now, the system that we presently have, it may not be perfect, but it has furnished us some protection. And I believe that maybe some of these things could be incorporated into this, and it may be all right, but I just want you to be aware of these things that I'm concerned about.
Thank you very much, sir. Now, you have a copy of the bill now.
Yes.
Yeah, if after you've gone over it, you know, if you find any other areas of, in specific that you're concerned, I'd appreciate if you could contact our committee staff. I'd like to hear from
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, Senator Roberts and then Senator Day.
The comment you made about the danger to farmland from the kind of development which might be permitted on the marginal land is one that's been I've been thinking about during these hearings. By the way, the members of the committee have this experience all the time that you experience. When you start listening to the testimony, you begin learning about the bill. And that's why we have the testimony. So we shift from one side to the other as we listen to the testimony. But I would like to echo what the... Well, I'm speaking to all open-minded senators.
Touché.
I particularly would like your thoughts, if you can particularize them, when you think about this, in terms of what sort of guarantees there ought to be to restrict the use of marginal lands, if we're going to open this up, to restrict the marginal use of lands with reference to preserving the necessary characteristics for lands that adjoin farmland. And you don't need to do it now if you want to, but I think that's one thing that I don't think has been addressed in the bill, and I'd like to see it addressed.
I might add, I think most of us do have some marginal lands that's not real productive, but we use it for grazing or timber, some type of timber production, and it creates a kind of a buffer zone to keep these housing developments away from us. And I'm willing to go along with this marginal land, although it isn't, you know, real, don't put a lot of money in a bank, but just a buffer zone.
Senator Day?
Well, a couple of three things.